welcome to the Monroe City Council meeting for this, the City of Monroe, this Tuesday, October 8th, 2013. I would like to now call the meeting to order and ask if Liz would take roll call, please.
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Gearing, Cutaback, Williams, Camp, Davis, Gamble, and Hanford.
Thank you. At this time, would you please join me for the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This evening, first off, we have two public hearings scheduled. The first of which is a hearing on revenue sources for 2014, consideration of possible property tax increases. I forgot to tie in.
There you are.
Would you like to join us up front and lead us in this conversation this evening?
Sure. I can just speak from here. This public hearing is merely a formality. It's a part of the budget process and required by state law, and it's just to give the public a chance to weigh in on the budget for 2014 and whether or not they want property taxes raised or not. It calls out property taxes in particular in the state statute. The preliminary budget that we have presented does not include any property tax increase, but if the public wants to get up and ask for it, it's their right to get up and say anything, any opinion on any of the revenues regarding the next year's budget.
All right, thank you. So at this time, we will open the public hearing to receive citizen comments. I don't have anyone signed up at this time, but if there's any member of the audience who would like to address council on the matter of the first public hearing, you may do so by approaching the podium, providing your name and address for the record. I would also ask that you limit your time to 5 minutes. Is there anyone who'd like to address council this evening on the public hearing with regard to revenue sources? No? Okay, with that said, then I would entertain a motion to close the public comment portion of the, close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing.
So moved. Second.
All right, motion's been made by Councilmember Camp and seconded by Councilmember Davis to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing. Seeing no lights, we'll take a vote on the motion. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Councilmember Hanford.
Motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
All right, motion's been made by Councilmember Hanford and seconded by Councilmember Gearing to close the public hearing. Any comments, questions? All right, with that said, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, then we'll now move on to the second public hearing this evening, and that is council compensation. City Administrator Brazel.
Thank you very much. This was discussed a couple weeks ago by council. It hasn't been reviewed since the late 80s, and there was some discussion, and there was consensus that we have a public hearing on this matter and let citizens come forward and comment if they have any comments. Right.
So this is regarding council compensation. Would the committee chair, council finance chair, have anything to add prior to opening public comment section?
Sure.
Yeah.
Basically, the gene is that you expressed, it's not been reviewed actually since the late 90s.
Okay.
So it would be 1999, I believe. And upon reviewing this, we found that about 73% of the cities actually do compensation based on a monthly stipend as opposed to meeting, which is pretty significant across the board. If you look at the like size cities where you are, it's even a higher percentage of them, closer into the 80s and 90s percent. And then when we started to look at the compensation That's when we also found that there was a quite a bit of difference between. So we have thrown out a figure that is consistent with the sites that we are, and also going with the monthly amount, and then we were looking for feedback from citizens.
All right, thank you very much. Again, I don't have anyone signed up to speak on public hearing number 2 with regard to increasing council compensation, but as always, I'd like to open up to the members of the public or to the members of the audience here this evening. If you'd like to address this issue, you may do so by approaching the podium, providing your name and address for the record. Please limit your time to 5 minutes. And is there anybody who would like to address council this evening? All right, seeing none, I will entertain a motion to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing.
So
second.
All right, a motion has been made by Councilmember Hanford and seconded by Councilmember Gearing to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing. Any comments, questions from council? Seeing no lights, we'll take the vote on the motion. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Right, council, any discussion? Seeing no lights then, I will entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
A motion has been made by Councilmember Kennedy and seconded by Councilmember Cutterback to close the public hearing. All right. Seeing no lights then, we'll take the vote on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, this time is set aside for citizens to address City Council on any subject. Except any matters that are subject to quasi-judicial hearing or matter. We invite you to approach, speak to council, approaching the podium. We'd ask that you provide your name, address, and the record, and again, limit your time to 5 minutes. I do have one individual signed up here this evening to speak with regards to new business item number 1, and that's Julie McDermott. If you would.
Thank you.
And appreciate your name and address for the record.
No problem. My name is Julie McDermott, M-C-D-E-R-M-O-T-T. My address is 16008 179th Avenue Southeast here in Monroe. I would like to discuss, I don't know if any of you have checked your work email, but we've sent forth our proposal in the email, so you had a little preview of it. But what we would like to discuss is the sidewalk proposal on 179th. I understand that there are 3 sites in question that might be used. We do appreciate having a sidewalk, perhaps, on 179th. There are a lot of children, ours included. We have 3 small children that are kind of always in danger of that big street. Lots of fast traffic. It's concerning to us that all the children who are walking home from school also have to contend with all the racing motorists. I did a little bit of research, though, because as part of this proposal, it would take away about 9.5 feet of my front yard. And we've lived there for 11 years, so we have that long-term landscaping plan in the front yard, and I would hate to see it go to waste at this point. But I'd like to read into record my proposal. It's simply that. It's simply a consideration of an alternative that would both get a sidewalk in place and also maybe ease the encroachment a little bit on our side. We appreciate the plan to make 179th Avenue Southeast safer and more pedestrian-friendly. We believe that there may be safer alternatives that also reduce the need to expand the paved right-of-way into existing front yards within the city's right-of-way. The posted speed limit on 179th is 25 miles per hour, with a 20 mile per hour limit in the school zone during school hours. The lane width and sight lines mean most drivers routinely exceed the posted speed limit, and many drivers exceed 40 miles per hour. This excessive speed is especially hazardous so close to a school where children frequently cross 179th. We added some graphs from the NAPTO Urban Street Design Guide that show the increase of pedestrian fatality with the vehicle speed and the reaction in stopping distance versus speed as well. We'd like to explore making the streets safer and more pedestrian friendly by reducing the travel lane widths on 179th, in addition to adding bike lanes and sidewalks. The National Association of City Transportation Officials, NACTO, Urban Street Design Guide, recently endorsed by the Federal Highway Administration, would suggest travel lanes narrowed to 10 or 11 feet as a more appropriate geometry for a pedestrian-friendly street. A 10-foot travel lane plus 5-foot bike lane would place the curb just 15 feet from the center line of the road, allowing sidewalk construction without cutting so deeply into the front yard setbacks of homes on 179th. Additionally, I expect this would also reduce the cost of construction by reducing the cut and fill required for sidewalks, and might also reduce the need to move utility poles. Besides encouraging more motorists to respect the posted speed limit, this would have an additional pedestrian safety benefit by reducing the crossing distance for pedestrians walking across 179th. You could further reduce the need to cut into existing setbacks by eliminating the planting strip between the sidewalk and the curb. 179th does not allow on-street parking, so it does not need a parking strip to allow room for opening the doors of parked cars. If you offered residents a choice of landscape planting strips or keeping 5 feet of existing front yard landscaping, I'm sure most would prefer the more urban design without the planting strip. I believe the city's design guidelines already allow waiver of the planting strip requirement where space is limited. Without a parking strip, from the existing center line, you would have 10-foot travel lane, 5-foot bike lane, 8-foot sidewalk, which is 23 feet from the center line to the edge of construction. 23 feet versus your proposed 30 feet may not seem like much, but that's 7 feet of front yard setback saved for every house along 179th. It's not just safer and more pedestrian-friendly, it's more neighborhood-friendly by preserving more of the existing character of the street. So I would just like to say I appreciate the fact that you're looking towards a safer sidewalk for the community, because there is a lot of foot traffic, but I would just encourage further exploration of what's available. This doesn't even consider moving the center line and also kind of narrowing the other side of the driving space as well.
Thank you very much.
I have a copy of this. If you want, there's plenty of copies for everybody.
Great. Thank you very much.
I want my notes back.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
No, just send it on your email.
It is in the email.
Okay. Same with the email?
Okay. Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you, Ms. Whitmer. Councilor Hammond.
Yes, thank you. I just want to thank you for coming tonight and actually paying attention to what's going on in the city around you, and as well as proposing other ideas. We appreciate that.
Learning experience.
That's what we want.
Certainly. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Hamburg. At this time, I don't have anyone else who has signed up to speak during the comment from the citizen section of the agenda this evening. Again, I will say that I'd like to open up to the members of the audience. If there is anyone who would like to address council at this time, you may do so. Thank you, understand. I would ask, so with that said, is anyone remaining in the audience wanting to address council at this time? Seeing none, then we will move on to the consent agenda. First, I would want to ask on behalf of City Administrator Brazel that we do pull item number 3. We made some slight adjustments, and City Administrator Brazel will explain those to the City Council. With that said, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
With number 3.
All right. Motion has been made by Councilmember Hanford, seconded by Councilmember Camp to approve the consent agenda minus item number 3. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. And City Administrator Brazel.
I'm actually going to defer to Mr. John Landy to go over the details.
We had a look at the agreement that is before you today. He had some recommendations of some revisions that we took into this agreement. Most of the revisions were format changes, some word clarification type of revisions. There were some items of content that, that were added. I want to go over those with you to be on record, and so you are aware of those. One of the additions was that the vendor would be required to comply with the city's pretreatment ordinance. That is, you're not allowed to break something as a cause interference or pass through, and the vendor would be liable for fines and penalties if something like that were to occur. There's an addition of the payment schedule. There's a monthly payment schedule as it was written. In addition, the termination language. The previous agreement didn't have any termination language for either party. Now a written notice within 30 days will allow either party to terminate from this agreement. And then there were some additions of some liability, some legal language, and some taxes. I know that's a brief summary, but those were the additions. And initially, or originally, the content didn't change much, but those additions were added.
And the additions that were added are in the packet today before council.
Gene, is that correct?
Correct.
I'm sorry. They are in the packet.
Okay, council, any questions for John? All right. With that, then, is there a motion to approve item number 3?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, a motion has been made by Councilmember Clevenin, seconded by Councilmember Gehring to approve item number 3, authorize mayor to sign the septage pumping services agreement with Sultan Pumper. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll take a vote on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. All right, first item here under new business is the project selection for community development block grant. This is the item for which we heard some comments from the public. And sorry. That's not Brad.
Oh yeah, Brad.
All right, Brad.
I'm getting there.
You guys talk too fast.
Oh, it is, Jim.
We once again have the opportunity to apply for community development block grant funding, as we have several years in the past, to install sidewalks on West Columbia. Last year was Powell. This year we're doing Elizabeth Street. This year we did a little different. We actually had our three choices that we had. It was Main Street, the 179th, and Park Lane. We sent out notices to the adjacent property owners to see if any of them had comments, which actually worked because we got someone to come in and say something. we also had a meeting yesterday with the grant administrator from Snohomish County to go over what she thought would be the best scoring projects. They're not real enthused with the Main Street project because it's sort of the CDBG money is for lower income areas of town. And since the basically 522 is the break between the lower income versus the not lower income parts for their purposes, they think that that's kind of pushing people out to the edges, so it's not in the core of the lower income area. So she liked both the 179th project and the Park Lane project because those both actually feed to schools. So they think those will score better than the Main Street project. So that's we were thinking that too, and that's why we recommended the Park Lane as the number one project. I know that's probably before you, but we used to have a planning commission member who regularly came to city council meetings to request sidewalks on Park Lane. So we're finally getting to do it. If you don't have any other questions, I'd like a motion to proceed with the grant application for installing sidewalks on Park Lane. A little bit more is that there's not enough money to do the entire thing at once. So the idea is to do it basically from Dickinson Street to the first bend in the street. And then as each year we apply for more money to continue it along 279th and then down 179th to Main Street as funding becomes available. So, if you happy to answer any questions, you might have.
So if I understand right, there are three actions possible this evening. Your recommended action is to endorse the middle of an application for the Park Lane project.
Correct.
The others, for the audience's information, is a motion to endorse the middle of an application for the Main Street project, as well as a motion to endorse the middle of an application for 179th Avenue project. I apologize, I had a paper over the lights here, so I'll go in alphabetical.
Chief or Gary, right?
Yes. just for that, Councilmember Hanford.
My concern that we do here, I appreciate the order that you put them in there, Brad, but when I looked at the maps, my immediate concern was, okay, you know, Main Street is on the main drag, and it feeds the high school, we have kids, you know. Then I got to the 179th, and those are junior high, middle schoolers coming to the feeding to the school, and high schoolers, a lot of them are driving or taking the bus. And I would think that we would need to worry more about our middle schoolers than high schoolers on Main Street. As far as the Park Lane, I realize there's families there, but it seems like the 179th option is right there where all the kids are coming from. You know, Park Lane will feed into that, but in my opinion, just from looking at the documents, I'm thinking the 179th makes the most sense as far as safety for our kids. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gary.
Thanks. Looking at the list, Park Lane would be my last choice. Respectfully, I know that's what you're recommending. And along the lines of Councilmember Hanford, my first choice would actually be Main Street. You can't walk all the way on the south side safely. There are lots of people. I see kids walking. They'll walk on both sides, so they end up crossing. You know, and it shouldn't be necessary to do that. And there are pieces of it. That can be done in phases, and we're already talking about not being able to do it all at one time anyway. I certainly think 179th is also a very valid option that would pursue my second. And just from what we'd heard, there are some impacts to some residents, and if we could assure that we could maybe get a waiver, because I would agree as well. I mean, why not have the sidewalk right on the edge rather than having a planting strip, especially on a situation like that. I know that I saw Powell Street's right near where I live. And there was, while that is a parking street, you know, so there's much more that was taken so that people could park. This isn't the parking street, as we heard. So at least if we were going to pursue 179th, that would at least want to talk about that a little bit more, making sure we could include that waiver, find out a little bit more about that. But I certainly think that'd be a valid one as well. My first choice would be Main. I would love to, I think, you know, it's our main street, and we're talking about this redevelopment of this area. We're talking about, you know, mixed use, you know, housing on top of businesses, you know, this West Main plan that we've come up with. We need sidewalks there, you know, as part of these plans that we've already implemented, and so, or at least that we've talked about that the Planning Commission has put forward in the past. Again, those are my thoughts on this time.
All right, thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, my questions were more in line with design guidelines, right, on setbacks and stuff. I mean, what can you go in depth? I know when we were... what is required?
When this property was short platted years ago, they dedicated additional right of way to provide the city with 30 feet of right of way adjacent to their property in 179, which matches the other short plats that have been done on 179. And if you look just to the south of this, just north of the Park Place grocery store, used to be gas station, that plat that went in there put the curb gutter sidewalk planter strip. The property immediately to the north across 160th has the same thing as the curb gutter sidewalk with the planter strip. The reason we need planter strips is not only for car doors to open when there's parking, but there's also has to be a place to put street signs, because we have to have the edge of the street sign at least 2 feet away from the face of the curb. So on the 24-inch cross, most signs are 24 inches across. So in order to do that, you need to have a 4-foot planter strip to keep them sufficiently far from the face of curb, so mirrors don't clip them and things like that, and then also have them not having a post in the middle of the sidewalk, because you have to keep a certain weight, you have to keep at least 42 inches of the sidewalk for ADA accessibility. And then also people need places to put their garbage cans and their recycling bins for garbage day, so you don't have them in the sidewalks or in the bike lanes. And that's also a big thing for ADA accessibility, is having a blockage in the sidewalk. So that's why you also need that extra place to do that. The lanes out there currently are 11 feet wide. So basically the street would stay in the same place with the pavement for the drivers, the bicycle lane, and then curb and gutter, planter strip, and the sidewalk, which would basically put it at 29 feet from the center line.
Thank you. Okay. Councilmember Kedbeck.
Thank you. Brad, when I looked at these three projects, 179 came to me on the forefront. So I am curious, why was your recommendation Park Lane? What am I missing?
That's, well, because the 179 does have the pedestrian bike facility, that strip alongside there, whereas Park Lane is just the pavement and then off into people's yards. And it's also been requested in the past by citizens. So that's why we started with that one.
Okay. And on the information you provided, you put the average daily trip for 179, that's 6,800. You didn't list one for Park Lane?
We haven't done any traffic counts on Park Lane for quite some time.
Okay.
So we don't have any current data.
You don't have any current data for that. Okay. And looking at these three, I would recommend that we do 179. I drive down that street daily, and when middle school gets out, the kids are walking. Even if there's that bike lane, the kids are walking in the street. It is pretty dangerous. There's not a sidewalk on either side. So I think the need and that being kind of a main thoroughway versus Park Lane, which isn't necessarily a main thoroughway. So I would recommend that we look at 179th and we look at options, you know, to make it as feasible as possible for the residents there.
Is that a motion?
Would you like me to make one? Well, are there any other comments?
They can comment after you motion.
Okay, I will make a motion to endorse submittal of an application for the 179th Avenue project option.
Second. All right, motion's been made by Council Member Kovac, seconded by submittal of an application for the 179th Avenue project option.
Can I make one final comment?
Absolutely.
So the bike lane, Brad, that's currently there, would that stay? I mean,
yes, that's okay. Like we have done in the other places where sidewalks have been put in, where people have done short flats or other development.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to make sure the bike lane stayed. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you. So the land that this is being done on is city-owned. City is an easement on the property.
No, it's right-of-way.
It is right-of-way.
Well, in the case of the McDermott's, it is.
In the case of the okay.
Yes, like the property immediately to the south.
Are you guys right on the corner?
Yes.
We're on the corner.
You're right on the corner. That's okay. Yeah.
The property to the south would require the acquisition of additional right-of-way.
This one here.
Yeah, between them and the Dominita Shore Plat.
Okay.
A couple of years ago.
I'm just thinking of my own street. Lots of people have landscaped, and there's telephone poles that, you know, all the way up to the road. Is that just the risk of a homeowner doing that, or is that something, you know, do we compensate people for
not losing their
landscaping?
Not if it's in the right of way.
Not if it's in the right.
Right. If we purchase the property from them and remove their landscaping, then they're compensated for it.
Okay, so it's not an easement, it's a right of way that the city technically owns it, is what I'm saying. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Councilmember Williams.
Thank you. Brad, do you have a sense of the types of funds that would be available, and would they cover more than just the design? Would they cover all of what you've got?
This is for construction, yes.
Okay, so, and we're only able to ask for one?
There's only, we can ask for more, it's just that there is there's very limited funds, and it usually looks bad when you get really greedy.
Sure. And so that would be greedy. So to play on Councilmember Gearing's comment about Main Street, the when you say that they didn't think it was high a likelihood, what does that mean? Like, it's one percentage point different, or they think, you know, it's a big difference, kind of?
It will rank, these are very competitive funds, and there's only $800,000 available, and so, you know, basically $200,000 a project, it'll rank, you know, below everybody else on that one. The other thing about the big project is that this particular funding stream will, if there's sidewalk on one side already, they will not pay for sidewalk on the other side. I mentioned this last year when we brought this project to you and Elizabeth instead. So you still have a thing of, if you want to walk sidewalk the whole way, you have to walk back and forth across the street. We were trying to use this as some matching money for the Transportation Improvement Board project that we applied for to do sidewalks all on one side, because they will pay for sidewalk even if it isn't on the other side. So we could have sidewalks the whole way on the south side, but we won't find out about that money until mid-November, whether that's been awarded. So we're trying to use that as a leverage to help with matching funds. But since it was a CBDG, people think that older students going to the high school, they like the younger students, you know, more helpful to them, that the likelihood of getting that money is lower, so we should do one of the other projects instead.
Okay, and then just so I'm clear on the whole, you know, the curb and parking strip, the sidewalk, all of that, it sounds like what you were saying earlier is that in order to keep the street in, to have continuity all the way through, is that the reason why?
Both have continuity and need some place to put street signs and garbage containers without blocking the sidewalk.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Councilor Geary.
Thank you. Brad, I'm looking at this map. So it is the black rectangles in the area of Main Street. Look at Main Street. There's three segments of black rectangular area. That would be the area in question. That all is on one side of the street. And there is sidewalk all the way up to...
Are you on which one?
I'm on Main Street.
On Main Street, okay.
So I'm coming from the east. I'm coming west down Main Street, and I get past where the housing hub's going to be. And then I'm almost to the swap meet place now. And this, that's where the first black rectangle is.
Right.
That's where it stops. And then the next one, it's the other two boxes are still on that same side of the street.
Correct.
And on the opposite side, there is no sidewalk. So where is the point where you would have to be crossing back and forth, like you said?
There's sidewalk in front of Speedway Chevrolet.
And yet there's a black box.
Yeah, that's
drawn on the low. Why would that box be there then?
They would not fund that portion of the project.
Well, why would we ask for it if we knew we weren't going to get?
That's our project, and then we'll fund it. Because we were doing this as a helping to match the funds for the other project, so that's the project they're paying for.
We want to do it, so they won't pay for that one,
right.
But they can pay for this one and this one,
right?
Which I would argue is in a lower income area,
right? Yeah, it is, but it's kind of directing people out of the area, not in. That's,
I think people walk both ways.
But we can try it if you want. So.
Again, that's my preference. I prefer less of the impact to residential areas, and yet a benefit to everyone. I think that's why this one's still my favorite. But we appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, we can have a motion on the floor. And seeing no lights and hearing no further comments, we'll go ahead and take a vote on that motion. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-1 with Council Member Geary in opposition. All right, thank you very much. Well, we will move on at this point to our Council Member reports. Council Member Geary.
I'm nothing this evening, thank you.
Thank you, Council Member Cutter.
Nothing, thank you.
Council Member Williams. Council Member Camp.
Nothing.
Council Member Davis.
Nothing.
Council Member Gamble.
That's quick.
Yeah, it was. That's just before you do it.
I know.
You didn't have time to think.
I didn't even have a time to think.
You didn't even see.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't have a little Pee Wee.
Let's hear it.
You know, football. There was the first Pee Wee interception last week.
Nice!
Yeah, nice. I just posted on Facebook. Set pick. I don't know whose kid did it. Yes, that's correct.
Councilmember Gander?
Yes, I didn't see the footage for that. And there was some wild guy jumping around standing there. And
yeah.
It looked kind of like you, actually.
Well, that there. It's supposed to be running down.
That's funny.
That's all.
First time my son tried to catch it at Memorial Stadium. I jumped over the fence that was still there. I got so excited. Sorry about that. I just wanted to tell everybody I apologize. I was a little bit late here getting here. Both economic development manager Jeff Sachs and I were at the Evergreen Community College event this evening, recognizing the expansion that has taken place out there in terms of the options and offerings of classes and so forth. And it's been 2 years since that campus is open now. I'm very surprised. Boy, time goes by very quickly. And we heard an interesting story this evening of a gal. Let me step back. You know, in my moment of speaking, I talked about the adventure begins here in Monroe. That's kind of our slogan. And for this gal, the adventure was definitely continuing. In that she's mother of two or three children who all attend Monroe Public Schools. Very active in the community with a lot of volunteering. And the East County campus has enabled her the ability to give a little back to herself in a way, in the way of education. And she couldn't do it if the campus was in Everett. But being that she lives in the Fryland and she can walk to classes on a sunny day, she's able to invest in her continued education. And it was a really neat story. And just very pleasing to be part of that partnership over the last couple of years. Although I had very little to do with it, the city, through Jeff and other staff members, really have done much more. But just being part of that as a resident of the city was really quite, quite fun to watch where they were in terms of the dreaming and developing the idea for East County facility to where they are now, and especially where they continue to plan on going. So, anyways, that's my report for the evening. So, we'll turn to the only reason why I didn't cover it is because I thought for sure you were going to bring it up.
What's that?
Community-wide event this Friday.
Absolutely.
It is homecoming at the Monroe High School.
Yes, it will be a community
tailgate there starting at, is it
4 o'clock?
3:30, 4 o'clock?
3:30, 4 o'clock.
So it should be a fantastic event. I thought for sure you were going to say
I left it late.
You blanked.
I know, I blanked.
And then the only other thing, I forgot because we've been so quick. This last Saturday night, we did the Monroe Youth Football Pee Wee organization went and spent a night at races over at the Speedway. In fact, I ran into Mr. Sachs there. Just a great job. I mean, we talk about them as a partner, but we were there as a part of, they let us do the 50-50 raffle, and just it was a great partnership. And we're able to raise some funds for the Monroe Youth Football, both squads, white and black teams. And it just, again, did a first-class job, and the kids totally dug it because it was demolition derby and, fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
No. Anyway,
thank you for the reminder about the it's a fair out there, I think is what they're calling it, community fair.
Community fair,
yeah, sure. Before the football game. And so, big night. Okay, since you brought it up, I'm just pleased to say that my son, who served for 7 months in Afghanistan, is home, and very pleased to have him home with us. Well, I tell you what, he worked out a lot in Afghanistan, and I have resigned myself to the position or understanding that he can take me by me.
Mr. Mayor, could you thank your son for his service?
Not a lot to report. I do like to report good news, but we do have bad news to report. As you know, we've been involved in the IPC Innovative Partnership Zone. We made application to the Department of Commerce. Unfortunately, the Department of Commerce did not select the Port to Pass application for enactment and certification this go-around. And so the group is working together to try to figure out what next steps are. And I'll be back to council if you'd like to debrief. Unfortunately, Commerce notified us over a five-minute phone call, and we're still trying to arrange more of a structural debrief to find out, you know, what really happened. In essence, I believe it came down to the fact that we had Everett Community College as our education partner, and Commerce was looking for U of Gov or WSU research laboratory involvement. And I think that was probably the piece that blew us out of the agreement. So more to regroup, more to discuss, and I didn't want to report to that before you might hear it from another source. So
not a loss, just a setback.
It's a setback. Quite honestly, the exercise over the last couple of years working with Sultan and Snohomish specifically and Snohomish County has really created an opportunity for us to talk, not as competitive cities, but as co-inhabitants of the Sky Valley, and I think that is going to continue. And we just have to figure out. The IPZ was an opportunity for us to give us an entity to cooperate with him. And now we've got to come up with a new vehicle to do that cooperation. And whether it's just meeting or whether we formally structure something, we'll figure that out as we go forward.
Great. Thank you. Diane, anything further to see?
Nothing tonight.
All right. Mike?
Well, I have the attached report. Just a couple things I want to highlight out of there is, number one, the Rotary Field restrooms are open. So check them out. It's really they're very comfortable. it's really a very economical but also a high quality facility, and I'd be happy to basically, you know, if someone wants to meet me out there, show you like there's the pipe chase and whatnot, how the building is put together. It's really a fascinating structure. I can see that being considered, as we had talked about, for some future facilities as well. So. The other thing I want to highlight was something a little bit more outdoorsy than that is the Eagle Scout candidate Carson Bowles, his project there, that shelter at Wigley Field. It's a really nice facility there, so I'm really pleased with it, and I'm proud of him for his accomplishment in putting that project together, securing the donations and all of the volunteer help to get that to happen. So.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Rough week last week, so we might have heard about it. Yeah. We were there. Maybe kept a kid home from school or two. My apologies for that. I wish it was my fault. It wasn't, but anyway. but I just wanted to say that I was really proud of the staff that responded to the incidents that we had last week. We actually had three water main breaks in a couple of days period, and they were very professional. They did their work quickly and neatly and cleanly, and I think you guys should be really proud of the job that they did. I think they made us look really good, and we were on every news channel in the Seattle area. So I just my hat goes off to them.
I'm proud, and I think that the community should be proud as well. Or can be proud. Thank you, John. Anything?
Nothing. I think.
Chief.
Nothing tonight.
Brad. Anything?
Yes, Sky Valley Water Association. As you know, we've been discussing the merger with that organization. They had their vote on October 2nd, and the vote was 142-4.
7-5.
Yeah. for acceptance of the proposal. So we've are in the midst of sending off the paperwork to the Department of Health and Snohomish County to make that happen, and all being well, it will be about February.
Yeah.
About February, and it will usually be ours. That's it.
All right. And leaving the best for the city administrator, Bradley.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to let council know that we are coming to a close on the Riley Group project, which they've been looking at the landfill site. All initial reports come back very good. We've met with staff, and they're consultant team as well, and we're just finalizing some numbers, so we will have that on the council agenda probably the next couple, 3 weeks to bring some proposals forward and at least let you know what the findings were. But we are very excited about that. We have many options for you to think about. So other than that, I'm ready for the draft agenda.
Let's do it.
Okay, draft agenda for October 15th, 2013. Under public hearings, we have the interim site code regulation. We have a consent agenda. Under unfinished business, we have discussed traffic calming program and the social media policy. And just so council knows, the Legislative Affairs Committee will be meeting that evening and talking about this exact item prior to. Under new business, we have the presentation of general fund and internal service funds budget presentation. Ordinance setting property tax levy, first reading. Review East Monroe comprehensive plan, final environmental impact statement. Draft agenda for October 22nd, 2013. When we look at the long-term agenda, the one thing I wanted to get clarification on this evening, if we could, like the council, is on November 12th, we'll be introducing the Code of Ethics amendments. I'm making an assumption here that council would like to have a public hearing on any changes. If that is correct, I'd like to get consensus this evening if possible so that we can get that scheduled tonight and get the proper notice. Is that something council would like to do?
I'm seeing heads nod. So.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
If we decide to make some changes to the Code of Ethics, does council want to have public comment via public hearing? So I can go ahead and schedule that.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Thank you.
That new TV show on the 80s. Have you seen that yet? No, you don't have TV.
I don't have TV.
Great line in there. Hyphen says to the wife, in my defense, I wasn't listening. For next time, we'll be. My wife wanted to know how they got a camera into our home. all right, Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, looking ahead on November 5th, we have the a couple of items, and then there's the meetings got canceled. Just wanted to see if we can get finalize a date, whether we keep it that day or whether we move it a day forward or back. It's just getting kind of close. I think it'd be good to finalize one day or another if we can.
It's my understanding that if we can move that item out if needed.
Oh, okay.
Nobody's throwing anything at you, so I'll unfinish business.
So effectively, November 5th is canceled now. If
effectively.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll put out for this.
Motion.
Okay. May we have a motion to cancel?
May. Sorry.
Yes, you did. I usually hear the clicking. I'm not hearing it. Councilmember Petaway.
I just had a comment. And looking at the agenda items, it looks like October 15th has quite a bit. Maybe some items that might take time with discussion. So I didn't know if council felt that either the traffic calming or social media or somebody could be moved to October 22nd. I mean, the October 15th meeting looks like there's items that could.
Traffic and
that. I mean, at least move one over. The council agrees.
That'd be fine.
Whichever one, just to even out the agendas between the 15th and the 22nd.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll move the discussion on traffic calming program to the 22nd?
Sure.
Okay. Then if we might, I would entertain a motion to council cancel the November 5th, 2013 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made by Councilmember Garrigan and seconded by Councilmember Camp to cancel the
November 5th, 2013 meeting. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
The motion has 6-1 with Councilmember Williams in opposition. All right. Okay. Anything else before we adjourn, Councilmember Gamble?
The meeting, I just wanted the finance committee meeting. Do we want to keep that one?
Oh.
No, on to tomorrow. That's a different one. We're going to keep the regular schedule.
I won't be real.
On the first one.
Cancel or move to the 22nd?
Well, actually, we have one on the next week.
Next Monday, second. So, okay. Hear a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Second. Motion made by Councilmember Gamble.